my fellow New Yorkers. The one dominant thought in our minds is that shared by 130 million Americans in our country, and hundreds of millions of men and women throughout the world. The greatest casualty of the entire world is now suffered by all the people of the world. The shock is so great that under ordinary conditions, it would be exceedingly difficult to absorb. But we must carry on, because of him whose death the entire world mourns. Here in this gathering, in not a very large room, a number of New Yorkers have gathered. Oh, we all came in so cheerful and happy. A citation was to be awarded to our own broadcasting station, WNYC. Here were men of different ancestry, of different religious faith, of different political beliefs, yet all now in great sorrow. We've all seemed to have been brought closer together. Mr. Gardner Osborne, whom you just heard. Judge Murray Hulbert of the Federal Court. Mr. John W. Finger. Mr. William Van White, a nephew of one of my predecessors. Mr. William S. Bennett, President of the Empire State Chapter of the Sons of the American Revolution. Borough President Edgar Nathan, who in his own right belongs to the Sons of the American Revolution. These distinguished gentlemen, these Americans, long line of ancestry, these sons of the Mayflower and the Half Moon, were to confer a citation on WNYC, directed by Morris Novick and the present mayor, the sons of the steerage. It's no wonder that we have been so affected. This gathering here is so typical of American unity. It's so typical of what our country stands for. And my friends, I've talked to you so often, and under difficult conditions. This is the most difficult task I have ever had. It means so much to you and to me. It means so much to people that you and I will never hear from, will never know. People who have been suffering for years, for generations, who had looked forward to this man as their hope. Not hope for them, because they had lost everything. Perhaps not hope for any of their own, of their age, but hope for their children and their grandchildren. But we must buck up. I revert back to the people of my ancient ancestry. And we must face it as Romans. Our leader has died, but he lives on. His inspiration is with us. His leadership is with us. An additional duty and responsibility has now been thrust upon every American, no matter how humble. Responsibility and a duty to carry on. To carry on as he would have us carry on. To insist that his ideals may be translated into reality and into everyday life. A better world for all. Economic security for the impoverished people of impoverished country of this world. For permanent peace. My friends, this just could not have happened. There must be some reason for it all. Is it the inspiration that we have followed for nearly 2,000 years? Is it that this sorrow must emphasize into us that responsibility and that unselfishness so necessary to bring about a happier world, to abolish forever cruelty, the brutality of war? It makes us feel all so humble at this time. And yet, it presses down hard for an additional responsibility to unite. To unite as a great people. To unite as a great democracy. Franklin D. Roosevelt is not dead. His ideals live. That pattern is so definite. It is so permanent. We cannot escape it. We must not escape it. We do not want to avoid it. We will carry on. Centuries and centuries from now, as long as history is recorded, people will know Franklin D. Roosevelt loved humanity. I call upon all New Yorkers to carry on.